are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're going to have a good Bible study tonight. Last week, you know, God's people are so great. As you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I had more people say to me, God used last Wednesday night to help my life. And I'm encouraged with that. I forgot to ask in elementary chapel this morning what I preached last week. What was the first song? You know, the devil snatches it away. And so I have to ask it next week. Does anybody remember what I preached as we get to Ephesians chapter 4? Anybody remember what I can't hardly remember. I do remember now. Anybody remember what I preached? Yes, way in the back. Kindness last Wednesday night. He did. Thank you. Wow, that's great. How about last Sunday morning? Anybody remember? Thank you for remembering that. That's great. Anybody remember last Sunday morning? See, you didn't listen, did you? Yes, sir, Brother John. Think right. Think on these things. You know, it is, isn't it easy? I'm just thinking, well, I've got Sunday night. But it's so easy to have it stolen away. It is so easy. And we live in such a fast pace. What did I preach Sunday night? Anybody remember Sunday night? Yes, sir, Thomas. Vision. Good, Joshua 24. The rest of you, you're going to have to listen tonight. It's just so easy to have it stolen away. I don't look down on you. I know a lot of things enter your mind all week long. I'd like you to start to muse on the messages of the week and throughout the week and pray then. That'll cause you to pray for Sunday. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I love you. I love these people so much. I want to be a help to them as we look at these words to live by. I thank you for the word kindness last week. Lord, may I be a kind man of God, is my prayer. A kind pastor, kind husband and father and grandfather. May I be kind to the saved, to the unsaved. May I be kind to everyone. I've tried to do that this week, God. Met so many unsaved people this week. And try to be kind to them. Help us. Help us with this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking tonight at Ephesians chapter number 4. As you get your Bible open. And I just lost my glasses here. Here they are. Ephesians 4. Let's read verse 32 together, shall we? Verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. Ready? Begin. And be kind. Now, last week's word was kindness. What was last week's word? The same text. It's the word forgiveness. God wants us to forgive. To forgive means to remit. It means to completely cancel. Completely cancel. I was visiting with somebody this week. I was preaching out of town on Monday and Tuesday in Pleasanton. I was visiting with somebody, and they said, you know, Pastor, my mother hates you. And for years she's hated me. I was her pastor. I remember when she was born. And you know, I have that happen so often. But I can't imagine anybody hating me. I can't. I mean, you open your mouth up, and whatever you say, some folks are going to love it, some folks will hate it. I can pillow my head tonight and say there's nothing between my heart and one other person on planet Earth. I'm gonna forgive people. I have letters that some folks have written and they're so mean. They're so unkind. I had a man write a letter and he said, I hope what's happened to my kids is gonna happen to your grandkids and your kids. And I hope you have to suffer the rest of your life. I'm talking about independent, fundamental, separated, saved man, bus worker, serving God. And he said, I just hope that there's nothing but sorrow in your life. I can't imagine I can't imagine living that way. I don't want to have one thing against another person.
Amen.
And I don't care who you are, but you climb the ladder of influence in your life, and the more people that you influence, the more they're going to hate you. And they hate you for every which reason. They'll try to destroy you. And God says, I want you to be kind to one another, forgiving one another. Cancel it. Don't go to bed. Now, I'm talking to someone tonight. You're mad. You need to forgive your husband. You need to forgive your wife. You need to, your kids. Some of you have kids in this room. They haven't talked to you in years. And you have to develop a forgiveness in your heart toward them. Some of you haven't talked to your grandkids. I've got them in this room right now for years. And you've tried. But there's something wrong there. Some of you have a daughter-in-law. You and your daughter-in-law are like water and oil. You and your son-in-law are like water and oil. You and your son, you and your daughter, it's just like water and oil. You cannot get along. You get together at Thanksgiving. I told you this before, but I have a retired police officer. He said, Pastor, the most arrest we make is always Thanksgiving Day. It's always family turmoil. And I said, what are those men thinking? And I immediately blamed the men. I had to be the blame. He goes, oh no, we arrest more women than men. What are you thinking today? I think of your Thanksgiving. How was it? You get along with your mother-in-law? You get along with your father-in-law? You get along with your parents? You get along with your Aunt Susie or Aunt Hilda or Aunt Rebecca, whatever the name might be. You get along with Uncle Bob and Uncle Bill and Uncle George. You get along with those guys. God's word declares that we ought to forgive one another.
Amen.
I want you to ponder tonight who you're to forgive. My Bible says several things about forgiveness. And first of all, I want you to jot these scriptures down. Forgiveness always begins with God. Look what he says in verse 32. Forgiving one another. Here it is. Read the latter part of that verse. Even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God forgave you. When God would send his son Jesus and he was on the cross dying for our sin, he was dying for enemies. He was dying for sinners. He was dying for the lawless. He was dying for me. I had no good in myself. And yet Jesus, he came to do God's will, the Father's will. That's to die on the cross for sinners, not for good people. I came not to call the righteous to the repentance, the Bible said, but sinners. Look what the Bible says in Acts 5:31, if you want to jot it down. He hath exalted him and raised him up to his right hand, the Prince, the Savior, and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus forgives sins. Write it down. Acts 13:38. Men and brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Mark it down. Acts 26 verse 18, please. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, until the power that they might forgive, might receive the forgiveness of sins. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. God will forgive your sins. But you're going to have to forgive others. I think of what the Bible says in Psalm 85, verse number 6. The Bible says, for thou, God, art good, ready to forgive, plenty in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And ready to forgive, ready to forgive. God is ready to forgive.
Amen.
Write it down. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even what? The forgiveness of what? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Colossians 1, verse number 14, would you write it down? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Write it down, Colossians 3, 13, forbearing one another. That means to put up with one another. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. I just can't imagine having aught in my heart toward anybody. I'm not going to, I refuse to live that way.
Amen.
I refuse to have anybody. My dad taught me this years ago. If you go down 101 and, I can take you right to the huge factory down there, huge property. And there was a fencing company there years ago. And my dad was a salesman for Sears and a high ticket salesman, they'd call him. He won so many awards and so many trophies. And he one day, he put fencing from South San Jose all the way to the San Francisco airport down the middle of the freeway. He sold all that. And one day he hired this company and he outsourced to them and they hired them. And they didn't owe him a lot, but they owed him, this is 40 years ago, they owed him $2,500. And we passed that place. I said, Dad, that place still owe you money? He goes, yeah, they do. I said, well, how much do they owe? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, I think it was $2,500. He goes, you're probably right. Well, why don't you go after them? Put a lien on, do something, but go out. They owe you $2,500. That's a lot of money. They said, son, they probably need it more than I need it. So just let it go. Then I'll never bring it up again. That's what you call forgiveness.
Amen.
These lawyers are so busy suing everybody. I mean, suing it. My wife went to the hospital. I had to sign so many forms and signing this and signing this and sign, and basically all protection that, you know, they don't want us to sue them. Why would I want to sue? God's word says that tonight that there is a forgiveness always begins with God. Secondly, I'd like to say this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Forgiveness is always demonstrated. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I wouldn't go to bed tonight mad at anybody. I wouldn't go to bed at an evil heart toward a staff member, toward a deacon, toward an usher, toward a Sunday school teacher, toward a brother or sister in Christ, a relative. I would not go to bed wrong with anybody. You heard that story. It's a true story. Years ago, a little girl, she was in high school and she really began to rebel. She grew up a good church, good pastor, good youth group, and she met this older man. He has been married, but he left his wife, and this high school girl met this guy. She started to talk to him. And she started to distance herself from her mother. You know, when you begin to talk to sin, you have to distance yourself from those that love God. And she got so mad at her mother. And she said, Mother, I'm going to do what I want to do. That night, she snuck out of her house. She met the guy, and she met up with him in a motel those days. Oh, he loved her. She was just a kid. The next morning she woke up, he wasn't there. And he had a mini casket. And he wrote the words, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." He had AIDS. They were immoral together through that night. And that little girl destroyed her life. You know, if your mother, hey kids, you teenagers, don't get sideways with your mother.
Amen.
It is easy to do because now you're turning into young adult ladies and two ladies cannot live in the same house. It doesn't work. But it works when you submit yourself to your mother.
Amen.
I mean, your mother loves you.
Amen.
She gave birth to you. She carried you for 9 months and went through the valley of the shadow of death for you to live and have life. And Mother Diaper June got up with you at night and spent time with you. She's not perfect. I know she's not perfect. Look what she's raised. Sure, she's not perfect. But you have no idea what it's like to be a mother, girls. And one day you're going to be a mother real soon. And you're going to hold those little babies. And all of a sudden you're going to wake up to the fact that it's a lot harder than I thought it was. It's amazing how many, I tell you what, Brother Romero, I should have written the book. Back in the 70s, 80s, I should have written the book in the 80s, especially on parenting. Man, Brother Nolan, I knew how to raise kids. I just knew how to raise them. Bible kids. And then I got older and realized I didn't know anything I was doing. And they grew up and they love us. They love their mother. They love their dad. They want to obey. They want to be a blessing to us. But I'm so glad I never wrote a book on how to raise kids, because I don't know how. Just the grace of God. Just the grace of God. I don't know of a family that has children, that have raised children, that have had 100% success with all their kids. I don't know of a family. In this, I don't know of a preacher. 100% success. Well, you let them live till their 40s and let's see how they're doing. God wants us to forgive. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says this, "But I determined with myself that I would not come unto you again with heaviness. For I make you sorry, who is it that maketh me glad?" Verse number 3, "I wrote unto you this same, lest I came, I should have sorrow of them that I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears." He's referring back to 1 Corinthians. "I wrote to you with affliction. I wrote to you with tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly for you." And if any, he's referring back to this man. I really believe he's referring back to this man who was an adulterer and a fornicator in the book of 1 Corinthians. And it said, "If any man have caused you grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part." Oh, yes, it's grieved me, but just in part. "That I may not be overcharged you all. Sufficient," watch this, "sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted by many." You know, here's a man commits adultery or fornication, and everybody's got an opinion about it. I'm not saying let's sweep it under the carpet. Never sweep that under the carpet. Deal with it. But wait a minute. So contrariwise, ye ought rather to, what's the next two words? Forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. I've never met a person who committed adultery or fornication that just said, "Well, praise God. God's so good. I'm just enjoying life." No, they get overcome with sorrow. And the Bible goes on to say, "Therefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him." This guy is wrong, yes. Verse 10, let's read verse 10 together. Ready? Begin. "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it." He said, "I forgave this man. He was wrong. He committed sin. He sinned against the body of Christ. He was a wicked man. Yes, he did wrong. But that man needs forgiveness." I'm not suggesting that we cover crimes. I've been here 50 years. Within 30 minutes to 1 hour, I have always called the police on every crime committed. I have to. I can't cover anything. I can't cover for any. No one's ever going to be able to say Jack Treiber covered a sin. But I watch people that sin or do wrong. It's my job to forgive them. I have a list of people I pray for. I forgive them. I pray that the day would come they could accept that forgiveness. God's word says I'm to forgive them. Look what the Bible says. Verse 11. Oh, read verse 11. When you won't forgive them, verse 11, let's read it. Lest Satan should get the advantage of us. You've got to forgive people.
Amen.
I've never done this. I got a 3-minute. I think there's someone up there. Brother Moyer, are you up there? I got a 3-minute and 30 second. I'm going to sit right here and listen to this CD. The Epleys are, go ahead, just play it anytime you have. The Epleys play for us and sing for us. I want you to catch this song and listen to it. Can you turn it up?
So many times I've seen it happen when people disagree. Families go their separate ways, and neighbors don't even speak. And with a difference of opinion, friends stop being friends. Thank God I know a place where it all will end. And nobody will be mad at anybody over there. No chips on the shoulders of the saints in heaven.
I want you to catch this.
And sometimes even God's own children can't seem to get along. Feelings hurt and grudges held over who's right and who's wrong. Listen to the words of Jesus. He said the only way to live is when somebody does you wrong. Forgive, forgive, forgive.
Yeah, forgive.
I look at our church that is here singing. I don't know one person that's a gossip in this church. I don't know a person in this church that's a gossip. I don't know if anybody's sowing discord in our, I'm certain it has to, but I don't know of anybody. Our church is so blessed.
Amen.
But you have to forgive one another. Someone does you wrong in a business deal. I don't recommend God's people getting business deals together. I just don't recommend it. Never have. I don't recommend you going to business with one another, but if you want to, that's up to you. I don't recommend it. But someone does you wrong in business, someone does you wrong in life, you're going to have to forgive them.
Amen.
I find tonight that quickly that there's forgiveness begins with God. I find secondly that forgiveness is always demonstrated. I find number three that forgiveness is always manifested. I'll leave a point out. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 18 and we'll be done. She turned to Matthew 18. I cannot tell you how grateful I am that you Spanish folks are here tonight. Thank God for you. I hope you'll enjoy it these weeks to follow. Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says this in verse number 21, 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Let's read the next verse, verse 22. Ready? Begin. Jesus saith unto him, that's 490 times. That's way beyond what the Jewish law said. He was embellishing it here seven times. You want me to do it seven times? I'll forgive this guy seven times. And God says, no, do it 70 times seven. Just keep on forgiving.
Amen.
God has forgiven me of all my trespasses. Why can't I forgive people? I don't want to get older in life and have malice in my heart toward anybody.
Amen.
Anybody. You know, I look at our ministry, and our ministry has been so blessed of God. We have 1,100 graduates of Golden State. There's 100 or maybe even 200 that have nothing to do with us. They don't want any information. They don't want anything in the mail. And that hurts. But I'll tell you what, there's 800-900 to still like everything we are. But that 100 or 2 or whatever it might be, I'm going to love those people.
Amen.
Many have gone a different path of old time religion and walked away from it. And they're going to answer to God. I'm not going to answer to God for their church. I don't like what I see people doing when they veer off the old time way. I don't think it's going to work long term. I don't believe they're going to produce anybody. They're not for Bible college. Church may be large, but they're not going to produce any for Bible. Why would you want to go to Bible college when you just have one service and you're done? No, it's Christ, our life. But I tell you what, I run into our graduates everywhere, and some no longer have a love for this place. But when I leave their presence every time they hug me and say, Pastor, thank you for the years at Golden State. I don't want to have an ill will toward. Why would I have, Brother Van Dyke, why would I want to be ill will toward a deacon? Why would I want to be ill will? That staff, they gather at 9 o'clock in the morning for prayer in the conference room. And we pray together. I'm so thrilled I can pray with people like that.
Amen.
Who do you have to forgive tonight, Father? Lord, I thank you for your word. Help us to be a kind, gentle people. Help us to be kind. God, help us to be forgiving. These are words to live by, and I pray that we'd be forgiving.
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, PreachTheBible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit KNVBC.com for Christian music you can trust.